This episode is brought to you by our sponsors and by listeners like you on Patreon. Bombas vision is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to someone in need. Bombas has designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you can't wait to put on every day. The Webb family over here has used them, and we love them. They're comfy, fun-looking, and come in family packs, which is awesome. I've never seen that before. I use my Bombas socks when I go on runs, and they're extremely comfortable. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, and has a cozy feel. And the Bombas t-shirts are made with thoughtful design features like invisible seams, soft fabrics, and perfect weight so they hang just right. And did you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy. So far, Bombas customers like you have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing. Go to bombas.com/purplerocket and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/purplerocket for 20% off. bombas.com/purplerocket. Parents, school's out, summer's here, and the kids are back at home with a lot of free time. Go wild with Wonder this summer without school. Enroll in a fun, flexible learning experience with over 140,000 online classes and camps for every kid with any interest. Look, as a fellow parent, I get the pressure of finding something engaging and useful for our kids to do over the summer break. OutSchool can help keep them engaged and their minds stimulated and their imaginations firing. They offer every kind of class you can imagine, from entrepreneurship to freestyle dancing to art, even magic lessons. There's something for kids of all ages, grades, and interests. We homeschool in the Webb House, and we plan to get Aurora and Cohen signed up with some OutSchool activities to keep them engaged in a fun way and help them explore their talents and maybe discover some new ones. OutSchool will have your kids loving to learn and having fun doing it. Head over to outschool.com/purplerocket and use code PURPLERocket to learn all about OutSchool's summer programs and save $15 on your child's first class. That's outschool.com/purplerocket to save $15 on your child's first class. outschool.com/purplerocket, code PURPLERocket. And don't forget, parents, supporting our sponsors is a great way to support this podcast. And now, back to our show. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Winglings Under the Willow Tree. Previously on Winglings, Will and his family were lured out of the Temples of Light by Daffodil Councilmember Jai Jibby. Jai told them that he'd brought the clan to meet them there, that they desperately needed the Winglings' help, but he was lying. After leading them away from the temples, Tim and the Dark Minions sprang a surprise attack. Ma and Dad got away, but Will, Em, and Magborn were captured. Tim told Will of his plans to return them to the Daffodil Kingdom, where they will witness their clan's demise and forfeit their pixie power to the Dark One. And now for episode 17, Storm Within. I was thrown hard onto a wagon. All around me, the sticky black net tightened, squeezing me into a crumpled position. Em cried on my back. She too was being squeezed uncomfortably. I felt tired and helpless. Magborn, tangled up in his own net, was thrown onto a wagon next to me. I expected to see him writhing furiously, trying to break himself free. But he did no such thing. There were no fantastic spells shouted, no demonstrations of his incredible power. He just grunted from the fall and then lay calmly in his wagon.
"Lock their swords in the chest," Tim ordered. I don't want them anywhere near them.
A bat-winged Luna bowed and then threw Gabriel and Smoke into a black chest before clamping the lock shut. I heard a clicking noise and turned.
Stella, I said weakly.
Poor Stella was in a big black net of her own, tied down to a long wagon. She still appeared to be injured from her fight with the Giffle. Her legs trembled and she sounded as though she were faintly whining. My fists clenched.
Look what I've done. I thought I'd saved her by getting her to sneak away in the night, but all I did was send her right into the hands of the enemy. And now she would suffer with us.
A giant pincher tried to gnaw at her net, but she was too weak. All of us were too weak. There must have been some sort of dark magic in the net itself. Something that slowly sucked the life, or at least the energy, out of us. My eyes fought the urge to sleep.
Head for the Black Sea, Tim ordered.
Hardles dug their flat, scaly feet into the mud and pushed our wagons forward.
But, sir, what about the parents?
A dark fairy asked, pointing back at the temples. Tim glanced back at the temples and then looked at me. For a long moment, we stared at each other.
Don't you dare go back for them, I said with my eyes. You have what you came for, I thought. Just take us and leave. Let them be.
Tim hesitated and then croaked.
Leave them. I don't want useless prisoners slowing us down. The Dark One will get who he wants. Now move!
The Dark Fairy snapped to attention and flew back into the ranks with the others. For hours we journeyed, through the valleys and then on through the pass. Only this time things were different. We had an entire Dark Legion surrounding us. If any danger dared to approach, any wild creature or guarding spell, it was obliterated by dozens of minions. But it came with a cost. Many of them died guarding our march back through the pass. They lay buried under jumping rocks behind us. For most of the trek back to the sea, all I caught were glimpses. Images faded in and out as I lost consciousness and occasionally awoke from a dark sleep. My eyes opened and I saw rocks flying, cracking, smashing. Loud thunder echoed distantly in my ears. Then darkness. Again my eyes opened, and this time I saw the white tree branch breach. Only instead of growing beautiful flowers as we crossed it, it turned black and grew rot. The sound of the river passed below us. Then darkness again. The next time my eyes opened, I heard Em crying.
Tim!
I coughed.
Tim!
Tim rode up next to my wagon on his Giffle.
What you fussin' about?
She's hungry, I said. Loosen our net just enough for me to hold and feed her. She won't make it squeezed against my back.
Tim eyed me suspiciously, and then whistled over the closest dark fairy and nodded to my net.
Loosen it up a bit, but not too much. I still want it to hurt.
The dark fairy fluttered up to me and whispered a spell as she pinched the black net. Instantly, it loosened its grip. As ordered, it was still tight and uncomfortable, but at least I could reach around and unstrap Emerald. Trying to soothe her, I bounced her in my arms.
Shh, I got you, love. Here you go. Here's some food.
I held some burkle berries up to her mouth, but still she cried.
I can't take it anymore, a Hardle moaned. Be quiet, you little...
Raising his club, he came for us. Before he could reach us, Tim's long pink tongue shot out and stuck to the back of his head. With a loud slurp, the tongue yanked the Hardle off his feet, making him land hard on his shell.
Not a finger, Tim scolded. Dark One's orders.
The Hardle wiggled helplessly on his shell. A couple Lunas flew over to help him up.
Leave him!
Tim croaked. The minions froze and then backed away. I could see the fear in their faces.
They were realizing with terrifying clarity that their leader would do anything to keep them in line. Obediently, they marched and flew on, leaving the agitated Hartle on his own. From then on, as we crossed over the hills, Tim rode closer to my wagon, making sure no one tampered with his prized catch. Em finally took my berries and calmed down. I held her close and stroked her soft, pale cheeks as she slept. I looked up at Tim. "How did you gain the Dark One's favor?" I asked. Tim spoke without looking at me.
"He came to me and asked me to join his army. Simple's that. But before I could join, he said that I needed to be tested. Said I'd been round you daffs for too long. That it made me soft in the head."
I could see Magborn listening intently in the wagon next to me. His eyes struggled to stay open.
"I told him I'd do whatever it takes," Tim went on. "He told me that I needed to convince the Daffodil Queen to join the Dark and combine her pixie with his. So I tried swaying her. But you remember how she was, so stiff and self-righteous-like. She wouldn't budge. So..."
"You didn't," I said. A tear ran down my cheek. Tim shot me a nasty look.
"I did. I used poison and made sure it couldn't be traced back to me. The Dark One was pleased with my performance. Said I was exactly what he was looking for, and that he'd help me get my revenge on the Daff soon enough."
I can't believe you killed her!
"Don't, please, stop your blubbering! You got a new one, didn't ya?"
He nodded at Em. I held her close. "How can you be filled with such hate?" Tim licked his eyeball.
"Hate doesn't consume you overnight, Will. It grows slowly within. It creeps through your veins until it boils your mind."
I shook my head. "There's good in you, I know it! I've seen it!"
"You've seen nothing."
"Remember those long summer days when we'd build lily pad forts? Or have races to see who could catch the most fireflies? Then the loser had to sneak all their fireflies through the window of a council member in the middle of the night? Remember floating down Emerald Creek? Camping out on your boat and watching the golden butterflies paint the night with pixie dust? Remember the fire?"
"What fire?" Tim croaked.
"The forest fire you started. You saw us hiding in the grass, I know you did. And yet, you didn't come after us. Why?"
"Because I didn't see you!"
"Yes, you did. I know what it feels like to be seen, Tim."
"Good for you!" He glared down at me. "I'll never know how that feels."
Tim flicked the reins of his muddy giffle and the beast's six legs carried him to the front of the pack. A short while later, we stopped at the top of a tall hill. Below was a vast, dark sea, the Black Sea. Floating on its shores was an enormous black ship.
"Load her up!" Tim shouted.
Minions carried us down the hill and loaded us onto the ship. I noticed there were no sails on the masts. There were just black poles with spikes sticking out of them, like huge, horned, branchless trees. Minions were scurrying about on deck, readying the ship to sail. They pulled on a thick chain covered in crustaceans, and an anchor made from the heavy skull of a giant sea beast lifted out of the water. Once it was up, the ship drifted off into the inky waters. I could tell Tim took great pleasure in screaming orders at his crew of minions. He croaked non-stop while the Hartles carried supplies below deck. Dark fairies and lunas flew about, checking to make sure the ship was prepped and ready to gain speed. With a shout from Tim, the sails were lifted. My jaw dropped. Rather than big white sails, giant bat wings sprang open along the sides of the masts. Their fuzzy black edges stretched wide. Sunlight shone through the veiny skin that expanded as it caught the wind. The black ship lurched forward. To my amazement, the wing's sails not only caught the wind, but they flapped along with it. They weren't quite strong enough to lift the ship out of the water, but they gave plenty of thrust to push us quickly through the waves. Gusts of wind blew our hair as the wings whooshed back and forth. Tim had me, Magborn, and Em tied up near the captain's quarters on deck. Once he'd made sure the ship was hitting its top speed, he walked over and crouched next to us.
"I had the fairies lighten the sleep for the net so you can pay attention better," he said.
So that was why I was feeling more awake, I thought. I was no longer fighting the urge to sleep, and I could sit up on my own in the net. Tim unfolded a dusty map and held it out for us to see. The details of the map moved on the paper. Grass swayed, water in the rivers flowed, clouds passed over the mountain peaks, ships sailed across the seas. Magborn's red eyes widened.
"A living map? Where did you get that?"
"The Dark One has his ways," Tim smirked. "I understand you have one of these yourself."
Magborn went quiet.
"You see these darkened patches?"
Tim pointed to large areas of the map that were blotchy, as if someone had spilt ink all over the page. The darkness was spreading.
"That is our territory," Tim said. "All of it under the Dark's control."
Why, that's half the kingdom, I said.
"More than half," Tim corrected. "And growing every day. By the end of the season, most of the fairy clans will be in the Dark, including yours."
Tim tapped his long green finger on Emerald Creek. A dark shadow was inching closer and closer through the Jelly Tree Forest. "Why are you showing us this?" I asked. "Are you trying to rub our faces in it?"
"No,"
Tim said. Then he pushed the map up into my face and rubbed my face with it.
"But now I am!"
He laughed and croaked. But he was the only one entertained by his joke. When his laugh died off, he got more serious.
"I want you to see what you're up against," he said. "Give you a chance to think of a deal you can strike with the Dark One."
"There'll be no deal," Magborn said.
"I wasn't talking to you," Tim hissed.
He looked back at me.
"The Dark One could use your skills, Will. He can promise protection for your family."
I looked deep into Tim's big eyes to see if he truly believed what he was saying. It looked as though he did. "The only thing the Dark can promise is darkness and despair," I said. "We will never join you. Even when all the light in the kingdom has gone out, we will fight through the night." Tim's rubbery face contorted.
"You're a fool," he croaked.
He looked at the huddled guard next to us.
"I don't want them getting a morsel of food for the rest of the day," he told him.
And then, with one last furious croak, he disappeared below deck. In that moment, as I looked around, I felt completely overwhelmed by the dark. Everything around me felt hopeless and wrong. The nets, the minions, the black boat, the dark sea, the winged sails, the gruff voices, the shouting, the hatred. It was all too much. I looked down at Em. To my amazement, her pudgy, berry-stained cheeks smiled up at me. I smiled back at her and ran my hand through her red curls. Out of all her powers, this was the one I held dearest. Her ability to make me happy. Her light and warmth always seemed to shine through, despite the darkness. Her green eyes smiled and she confidently blabbered some gibberish. "I don't know what you're saying," I laughed. "Did you catch that?" I asked Magborn.
"Don't look at me. I don't speak fairyling."
Em babbled some more and then passed gas.
Now that I understood, Magborn chuckled. I laughed and held M close. Closing my eyes, I stoked the pixie light inside us. The warmth filled us both, giving us peace and comfort, blotting out the shadow around us.
Tie it to the mast, shouted a Hardle.
I opened my eyes and saw several Hardles dragging Stella and her net across the deck. They tied the giant scorpion to the main mast and taunted her.
Watch, watch! Look at her tail, look at her tail!
Said one big fat Hardle who poked at the scorpion's tail with his spear. Poor Stella cowered back and tucked her tail under her. The other Hardles laughed and joined in the fun. They poked and prodded her, called her names. The big fat one was having an especially great time, climbing onto her net and pretending to ride on her.
Look, look, I'm king of the scorpions!
His deep, dumb laugh made me fume. None of these drooling buggers would come within 100 miles of a scorpion in the wild. I bet they felt real tough bullying poor Stella while trapped in her net. Hey! I shouted at them. Leave her alone, you thick-headed nugglebrains!
Who you calling nugglebrains?
The fat one said, hopping off Stella's back. He and the others started towards us.
Uh-oh, you don't have Master Tim keeping an eye on you, do ya?
He said, looking around to make sure Tim was nowhere in sight.
It'd be an awful shame if someone went splashing overboard now, wouldn't it?
His Hardle friends laughed menacingly. I threw out my hand and shouted, Restore Ogaphora! A wall of water spilled over the side of the boat and washed the Hardles overboard. Their cries faded as they splashed into the waves.
Yes, it would, I said, answering his question.
Magborn laughed loudly.
What's going on out here?
Tim roared as he hopped back on deck. The rest of the minions went quiet and looked at me nervously.
Just some rough water, sir,
said one of the Lunas. Tim eyed his crew.
Rough water. Back to your post! I want us ashore by nightfall!
Yes, sir!
Tim turned to head back down the stairs, but stopped as he heard the distant clap of thunder. He slowly turned and walked to the edge of the boat. Dark storm clouds were gathering. Lightning flashed in fierce bolts across the sky. Tim's eyes were too big to hide his fear.
The storm's here, a Hardle shouted.
It's the fighting waves, cried a dark fairy.
Tim watched swirls form in the clouds.
No, we've long outrun the waves, he said.
He turned to face his crew.
It's the thunder's throat!
The words struck fear into the hearts of everyone on board. Even Magborn looked shaken by the announcement.
Everyone push the sails with everything we've got, Tim bellowed.
Lunas and dark fairies flew in front of the flapping bat-winged sails and pushed dark magic into them, trying to give them an extra push. The Hardles held on for dear life. Some tried to escape below deck, but Tim either stopped them or flung them overboard.
Get back, you fools!
Tim roared. He looked up at his flying Lunas and dark fairies.
Faster! Your lives depend on it!
I stood in my loosened net and looked overboard. Tubes of mist and wind swirled down from the clouds towards the churning ocean below. There were hundreds of them, stretching down like cloudy tentacles to the twisting circles of water. As soon as they touched down, a deafening whistle filled the air. Water spiraled up the tubes to the clouds. Lightning flashed down them, illuminating them only for a split second, but long enough to appreciate their monstrous size. The Thunderthroats sped across the water, furiously sucking water as they moved.
Faster, men!
Tim screamed. The boat was rocking so much that he had to hold himself to the boat with his sticky tongue. Above him, the winged sails flapped hard, sending the ship crashing over the waves. Rain sprayed us from the side and made the deck slippery.
Hordles slid across it, tripping each other and knocking into walls and masts. A handful of them snuck into an escape boat and paddled out to sea. But I watched in horror as a thunderthroat swirled down a wave and passed over them. The Hordles were instantly sucked up into the watery tornado along with their little boat, which splintered into a thousand pieces. All of it was sucked up and up and up into the sky. A flash of lightning showed their flailing shadows hundreds of feet up in the tube. Then finally, when the throat was done with them, it spat them out and sent them crashing back down into the waves. The terrifying scene made me slam back against the wall. My breaths quickened. Two thunderthroats swirled towards each other in front of our boat.
"Turn her starboard! Starboard!"
Tim ordered. But there was nothing they could do. Before the wheel could complete a full rotation, the two throats combined into one, forming a giant funnel right in our path. And suddenly, we were inside it. All I could hear was an ear-splitting whistle, like a horn blaring by my head. My cheeks felt as though they'd been flattened by the wind, and the rain slapped against me like a barrage of darts. I felt us lift out of the water. The ship's wood creaked and shook. The winged sails twisted and bent awkwardly. Dark fairies, Lunas, and Hordles flew out into the churning tube and vanished. Lightning streaked down from above and exploded into sparks over one of the masts. Boards ripped up from the deck piece by piece and whipped out into the wet gray storm. Me and Magborn held on for dear life. Even being tied to the rigging, my fingers burned as they struggled to hold on and keep us from being sucked away in the wind. Miraculously, the sticky net helped keep Em stuck to my back. Even so, she wailed. We turned and turned in the tube. Any second we would be spat out and dropped hundreds of feet to our deaths. I couldn't use my wings as long as they were folded in the net. Tim's voice barely broke through the howls of the storm.
"Save us!"
he shouted. I looked at him. His tongue was starting to lose its grip.
"Save us, Will! Please!"
I looked at Magborn. "What can we do?" I asked helplessly.
"You push the wings. I'll push us into another throat," Magborn said.
"What? Just do it, Scrub!" I threw out my hands and summoned both mine and Em's pixie. "Gafora!" I shouted. The bat-winged sails filled with a sudden burst of wind and the ship blasted out of the tube. Now we were in a free fall. My stomach shot up into my throat. "Magborn!" I shouted.
"Hold it,"
Magborn said, waiting for another thunderthroat to get within range. Tim and the minions screamed around us.
"Magborn!"
I shouted.
"No!"
Magborn threw out his hand and yelled,
"Sapusfana!"
The nearest tube blew in front of us before we could crash into the sea. Immediately we sucked up into it.
"Again, Will,"
Magborn said.
"Gafora!"
I blew the sails forward again, shooting us out of the next tube and into another free fall. This time the fall was shorter, but still deadly. Magborn waited for the next tube.
"Sapushvana!"
He blew another throat in front of us to catch our fall. Up and down we went through the tubes, me blasting us out and Magborn catching our fall. Every catch was followed by a loud thud and groans from the crew. With one final shout of Gafora, we blasted out of the last tube and landed with a splash in the water. Behind us, the Thunderthroats took their storm and retreated back into the clouds. Struggling onto his webbed feet, Tim stood and looked at what was left. His boat was in shambles, and he was missing half his crew. I could see the shock in his face. I couldn't tell if he was stunned we'd survived, or speechless he'd lost most of his army. "Em, are you okay?" I said, looking over my sister. I checked her arms and legs for bruises, and luckily only found a few scrapes on her forehead.
"Good work, Will," Magborn said weakly. "I hate to admit it, but you've come a long way. That was far more impressive than ruffling a bird's feathers."
I remembered my first attempts at the Gafora spell, and the little bird I'd barely disturbed with them. Thanks, I said. You didn't do too bad yourself. Are you okay? You look tired. I figured the magic from his net hadn't worn off yet, which made what he'd done even more amazing.
I'll be fine, he said.
The minions celebrated their survival. Their cheers sounded more like happy grunts and hisses, but we got the point. The muted celebration became loud jubilation as someone announced, "Land ahead!" A thin line of land appeared on the horizon. The only ones not celebrating were me, Tim, and Magborn. For me, seeing land only meant we were one step closer to Tim taking over my clan. But for Tim, I couldn't imagine why he wasn't jumping for joy at the sight of it. After a long moment of silence, he looked at me.
"Will, we're alive," he said softly.
"For now," I replied. For those few words, Tim's voice was different. Instead of hearing the voice of a hateful toad, I heard the familiar sound of my best friend. The ship barely made it to shore. As we floated up onto a sandbar, it felt like we drifted ashore clinging to leftover wood from a shipwreck. Still in our nets, me, Magborn, and Stella were carried off the boat and loaded back into wagons. Tim rode up next to us on his giffle, whose wet wolf schnoz sniffed us over.
"What you did doesn't change anything," Tim said quietly, his voice cold again.
"You and your crew aren't dead. I'd say that's quite a change from a moment ago."
"You know what I mean."
"Yes, I know," I said. "I was wrong about you."
"Oi?"
"You aren't Tim anymore. I can see the dark snuff that light out long ago. Now you're something else." Tim shifted uncomfortably in his spiked armor.
"Take them over the bumpiest path you can find," he ordered. "I want us obliterating Emerald Creek by tomorrow morning."
Sir?
One of the dark fairies interrupted.
"What?"
A ship, sir.
Tim turned and looked out over the water. Emerging from the storm in the distance was the shadow of a boat.
Hey, Rocketeers! I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I know we've got one very special Rocketeer out there who loves the Winglings. So I wanted to give a shout out to Cairo from Oregon City, Oregon. Hey-o! Cairo, if you are half as cool as your name is, then you're pretty dang cool, okay? Not to mention you're listening to this podcast, which makes you awesome. Thanks for listening, Cairo. And thank you all for tuning in and supporting the show. Don't forget to tell your friends and family about these episodes. Tell them to give the podcast a try and see if they like it. You know, some of the Rocketeers in the past have sent in artwork. I'd love to see more of that. I want to see some drawings of your favorite characters or moments in these stories. Send them in. Email them to purplerocketpodcast@gmail.com. Send them as an attachment. And I could share them out on Facebook to the rest of the Rocketeers so we can all enjoy them. Show me your skills. And don't forget to tune in next Monday for an all-new episode. This is your host, Greg Webb.